It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who contribute to support us. We are an independent voice. We're searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. It's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or this latest a silent thief, and that is government-induced inflation. But for this day after Thanksgiving broadcast, I get to reflect on so many different things, but I'm so grateful for each of you, first of all out there, our listeners. You're treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And then this great team that I get to work with as well, that's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. For this day after Thanksgiving, producer Steve, I hope you had a great day.
It was great. It's funny, as time goes on, these days they become different to some degree because your vantage point is different, but still great all the same.
Well, and they're all different, but it is always a blessing, even with all that can happen around holidays. It's a blessing to be able to get together with friends and family and really reflect on the blessings of being Americans, to be able to live here in this fabulous country. In studio with me is another one of our team, and that is Patty Kurgan. She is a valued member of the team. She is a researcher. She is an author. Patty, it's great to have you here.
Thank you very much for your invitation.
You know, I think we've arrived. We've had Rick Turnquist Fridays. We've had Alan Thomas Fridays. But this is a Patty Kurgan Friday.
This is a Patty Kurgan Friday, definitely. And a very special Friday because it is the day after Thanksgiving. But it is the Friday before Advent. And Advent is the four Sundays before Christmas. And Patty, you've written a really important piece that we'll talk about it here in just a few moments, but it's Life of Fear or Life of Peace, and we're going to be rolling that out in the newsletter this weekend. But before we get to all that, I did want to highlight that Bear Owen is our guest on America's Veteran Stories at 3 p.m. this Sunday, and then there is another veteran story, America's Veteran Story, that will be broadcast at 10 on Sundays, and then on Saturday nights there's one at 10 as well. And so the stories are rich, and Steve, I find that sometimes it's great to hear these stories more than once.
Well, I think we talked about it earlier in the week. Our friend Charlie has put together a ingenious system of running American Veteran Stories three times a weekend, but it's not the same show. So, yes, there's going to be these repeats, and there's nothing bad about that.
No, they're rich, they're different, and of course that show precipitated from a trip I took in 2016 with a group that accompanied four D-Day veterans to Normandy, France for the 73rd anniversary of the D-Day landings, realizing that each of these stories, they're important, they're each unique, they need to be recorded, broadcast, and archived, and that is on our hearts to make sure that that happens. Before we get into talking with Patty Kurgan about her op-ed, our quote for today is from Pope John Paul II, and he was the head of the Catholic Church from 1978 until his death in 2005, and he was the first non-Italian to be elected Pope. Is that correct, Patty?
Correct.
Okay. He was born in 1978. He died in 2005. And there's also a really important book. It's called The President, the Pope, and the Prime Minister, talking about Ronald Reagan, Maggie Thatcher, and John Paul II, and how they really came together. And because of the three of them, the Berlin Wall came down.
I know. It's a fascinating historical moment.
It really is. It really is. And we are living through, I guess I should give the quote. How's that?
That would help.
He said, freedom consists not in doing what we like, but in having the right to do what we ought.
Yes.
Wow. So let's segue over here, though, Patty. You and I talk a lot, not only as you do the research for the show, but we talk about, I would say, big ideas. And this particular piece that you've done, Life of Fear or Life of Peace, as we're looking, what has happened with tyrannical government overreach and the fear and what that is exactly, you put a lot of thought into this particular op-ed. How do you want to walk us through this?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about what's going on here in the U.S., and so many of us get our news through the talking heads. It doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. There's just so much news out there, and it's not good news, and it creates fear within people.
And anxiousness.
Exactly. And, you know, we had Brad Beck on last week, and he talked about how people are just sort of like walking around in a daze. They're starting to wake up. And that's good. And so this piece is to help people wake up in their spiritual sense, because a lot of people still are asleep. And instead of listening to the talking heads and reading all this information that creates fear and look to the government as the solution, I ask the question, why aren't people looking to their creator? Because their creator is God, and God can bring them the peace that they're looking for. They don't have to have all this turmoil inside.
And Patty, I think possibly because we've moved to more of a secular society and haven't continued to think about our soul and really that spiritual component of our being. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree. I think we're in an anti-God mode right now. Religion is almost a dirty word. You're not supposed to say it. You're not supposed to talk about your faith. And I'm challenging people who read this piece that there is goodness that they can find in God. And they don't have to be fearful that if they turn to God, God's going to be harsh on them. God is loving, and he wants you to come to him and ask for forgiveness. That's all you have to do, is say, please forgive me, and have a conversation with God. Pray. Prayer is a form of conversation. A lot of people don't look at that, but it is. And it's interesting because a couple people have asked me recently, well, how do you pray? So I take them to Matthew 6, where Jesus tells us exactly how to pray. And it's the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is for all of us. It starts out, our Father. It doesn't say my Father or your Father. It says our Father. He is the Father for all of us.
Well, and the interesting thing about the Christian faith, in its true sense of it, certainly mankind, you get man involved in things, and we can use religion to force all kinds of different things. But what I find so interesting about Christ is that there is such freedom in that, where people can choose whether or not to accept or not. And I find that that is the true essence of Christianity.
Well, it's based on God gives us free will. He doesn't tell us we have to do something. We have the free will to choose what we ourselves want to do.
And there's such freedom in that. So, Patty, this is an important piece that you've written, Life of Fear or Life of Peace. And this will be in our newsletter. We encourage people to sign up for that this weekend. And it'll be on the website then after that, so people can find that there as well. So the Kim Munson, that's MUNSON.com. We're going to have a great conversation with Father John Lager as we are going into the Advent season here. But before we do that, though, a great partner of mine, and really Freedom People, I met them when I was on City Council in Lone Tree, and we talked about free markets, freedom for people to be able to go after their hopes and dreams without government intervention. And so Hooters Restaurant restaurants has become a partner of my show with that, and they have five locations, and that is Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have all kinds of specials. I'd encourage you to get together with friends sometime throughout the holiday and check out either their happy hour specials or their lunch specials. But again, they are sponsors of both the shows. Greatly appreciate that. We're going to go to break. In studio with us is Patty Kurgan, and we'll be talking with Father John Lager about Advent. So stay tuned. And before we go to break, on the line with me is Steve Cruz. He is one of the co-owners of Three Points Financial. Hope you had a really great Thanksgiving, Steve.
Thank you. Yes, you too.
And so what's on your mind?
So this week with Thanksgiving, I've been thinking a lot about the fact that sometimes, actually many times, money actually kind of takes joy out of our lives rather than put it in. So I wanted to share just three financial tips for adding joy back into the financial and all associated with the themes of Thanksgiving.
Okay. You got me on the edge of my seat.
tip number one, I recommend people establish their own financial finish line. So there's always going to be somebody that has a bigger bank account, nicer car, bigger house. And so what we help our clients do is come up with their own personal definition of their financial finish line, so they're not constantly on the money treadmill. So that's number one. Second thing I recommend is try giving a little bit of your money away each year. It's one of the most fun things that you can do with money, and I guarantee it's going to instantly bring a little bit of joy to your life. So I recommend people, it doesn't have to be much, just looking for a way, maybe it's giving something to a family member, or an individual in need, or some kind of charitable cause that's important to our clients. So that's another financial tip there. And then the last one, really going in with Thanksgiving theme, is just an attitude of gratitude. And just having, the original Thanksgiving celebration, looking from outside, looking in, there was a lot of pain, misery, and death that had gone on in the several months, before that celebration. But they still had, that attitude of gratitude. And I think that made a big difference in their resiliency, and it's also also carries over in the financial world. So we help, again, with Three Points Financial, our clients' lives are more than their money, and we try to help see that and ways that they can, make a difference in their own lives and the lives of their communities.
I love the fact that it's more than just money. Certainly that's a component of it, but it's a whole life kind of thing that you and Mary do with your clients. How can people reach you, Steve?
Best way is just visit our website, www.threepointsfinancial.com, threepointsfinancial.com, and there's a contact us page, and they can go on there and schedule a call with us, and we'll go from there.
Well, again, and that's threepointsfinancial.com, threepointsfinancial.com. And Steve, I'm very grateful to have you and Mary as new partners of the Kim Munson Show.
Yes, we're thrilled to be part of your show.
Okay, great. We will talk to either you or Mary next week then.
All right, sounds great.
Thanks so much, and we'll be right back.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Cruz with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out threepointsfinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's threepointsfinancial.com.
You are a child of the universe.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And as you know, in studio with me is Patty Kerga, and she is a researcher. She's an author. She does the research for the show. And Patty, this piece that you've done, Life of Fear or Life of Peace, it's so appropriate as we're moving towards Advent. I do hope that you had a great Thanksgiving with friends and family.
Absolutely. I love Thanksgiving. There's no presents given. It's just the gift of friendship, the gift of love.
And gift of family.
And we, of course, thank God for all our blessings.
All of our blessings. And of course, this broadcast, which is the day after Thanksgiving, Sunday is Advent. And we thought it very appropriate that we are going to be talking with Father John Lager. And he is a Capuchin Franciscan, and he is a national chaplain, for Focus. Father John Lager, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you, Kim, and Patty as well. So I'm very happy to join you for this segment. So it's beautiful.
Well, and tell us a bit about what this Focus is, your national chaplain for Focus. What is that exactly, Father John?
Well, it's probably my most favorite of ministries that I've ever been able to do in my priesthood, and I've been ordained over 40 years. So the Fellowship of Catholic University Students is a Catholic missionary sending apostolate in the church, where we would also it's close to what Campus Crusade was for Christ on campuses, which is now called CRU. But 23 years ago, a man by the name of Curtis Martin, who is also a really dear friend of Scott Hahn and others from Franciscan University, began this apostolate where we would send out two by two, two men, two women, to campuses across the country, now in Europe, to be missionaries to reach out and evangelize their peers on the college campus. And so what started with one small campus at Benedictine College in Kansas in the, 2000 or 1998 is now 180 campuses and sites across the world, with six of them being in Europe, two in Austria, two in Germany, one in England, and one in Ireland. But we're on some major, major campuses here, Harvard, and we're at MIT, we're at the University of California, Berkeley, UCLA, Colorado State, University of Colorado, just a host of campuses across the country, almost not quite in every state yet. But its whole purpose is to reach out and to bring the good news of Christ and hope, to these young men and women who are striving to understand and to grow, obviously, into a profession, but also not to cave into, obviously, the woke culture that oftentimes and the hedonistic culture that we often see on college campuses.
Father John, there is a rampant, I think, religion that is on college campuses, and it's the secularism, and there's really no hope in secularism, and there's this hope of Advent, and so the work that you're doing, it seems like it's very important work as people, young individuals are leaving home, going to these college campuses. Professors may be telling them things, not the whole truth, not searching for wisdom, but trying to teach kids what to think. I mean, I've got to think you've got a big challenge right now here. Are you seeing results?
Oh, absolutely. One of the great byproducts, even though this is, our work is really to help young men and women stay in the faith, or at least grow in the faith, or even discover the faith in a new and exciting way. St. John Paul II always talks about the first love, that we should return to often. And that first love is about the encounter that hopefully we had with the Lord Jesus early on in our lives. And how do we continue to cultivate that? And so the hope that we provide for these students on campus is, how can we continue to not only know with our minds through the scriptures, you know, the gift of faith and the Lord Jesus and the beauty of the church, but how can we know with the heart? And it's the heart that's the most important, because we know that if college students continue to encounter and practice their faith through their years of college, over 80% of them will continue to practice after they leave. But if they don't, maybe 20% may find themselves darkening the church door again. But, you know, the real challenge and the bleed of our faith, many faiths today, is that almost 80% of those who leave the faith leave during the years between 18 and 23. Well, where are they at that time? And we know where they are. They're at the university campuses and college campuses, and oftentimes being fed with, you know, such a secular and often anti-Christian, anti-moral kind of stance that we need to have, and, you know, almost, you know, an anti-freedom, you know, that we need to have in our culture today. So it's a great gift. And as I was mentioning, the byproduct is that over the course of all these years, we have wonderful young men and women who find their spouses oftentimes in this ministry as well. But we also have, you know, are so excited because in these last 22 years, we have sent over 1,000 young men and women to either a seminary, to a religious order like my own, or to convents. And so there are hundreds of priests and sisters and brothers who are now you know, faithfully living the church in, you know, the gift of their faith today. So how wonderful that is to be able to see that byproduct and provide the hope and the strength, the encouragement, and conviction that they need to live out their faith strongly.
As you're talking about this, Father John, one of my other shows that I do is America's Veteran Stories. And when you're talking about going into college campuses, I just wanted to make a quick note. I interviewed Matt Albright recently, who is the director of the Center for American Values, where they have the Gallery of, I think it's Gallery of Heroes. Is that what it is, Patty?
I thought it was the Gallery of the Medal of Honor.
Well, it's the Gallery of the Medal of Honor. And so they have Medal of Honor portraits of many of our Medal of Honor recipients. And an interesting fact, I didn't realize this, there are 4 Catholic priests that have received the Medal of Honor. Did you know that, Father John?
I didn't know that there were 4, but I definitely knew that there was one. No, I think Father Capon, you know, from Wichita might be one of them, right?
I don't know their names, but I found that really remarkable, feeling called to do their duty there on the battlefield as well. And it kind of stopped me in my tracks as I was thinking about that, Father John. But we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about Advent. In studio with me is Patty Kurgan. She is a researcher. She's an author, has written this very important piece, Life of Fear or Life of Peace. We're talking with Father John Lager. He is a Capuchin Franciscan, and we're preparing for Advent. And we want to talk about what that is exactly and what that means. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. And before we go to break, on the line with me is Hal Van Herke. He and his wife, Linnea Van Herke, are true entrepreneurs. They are the owners of the family-owned business, Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Can't believe that we are at Black Friday. Christmas is right around the corner. Hanukkah starts. Hal Van Herke, happy Black Friday to you.
Thank you, Kim. It's a crazy but great time for us. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And, yep, we're definitely busy here for Black Friday and got lots of things to share with you today.
Okay. Are you doing anything special? Can you tell us what's going on?
Yeah, we have all kinds of restrictions from our vendors that always don't like us to talk about the special things we might do for special customers. But if you want to check out our website today as well as tomorrow on Small Business Saturday, and then Cyber Monday as well, we've got special surprises both on the website and exclusive opportunities in the store as well. That, you know, without being silly, are so good we're not allowed to talk about them. But in addition to that, we just opened up our pop-up store in downtown Castle Rock. That's going great. The real emphasis there is on holiday gifts and kitchen items. We have carving sets, steak knife sets, individual kitchen knives, both that are handmade in the U.S. as well as Japanese knives, German blades, etc. All kinds of unique blacksmith-made cleavers and kitchen choppers and items like that, plus over 100 different outdoor knives and the best selection of knives of quality pocket knives under $100 that we've ever had in our store, both now located in our main store in downtown Sedalia and in our pop-up store at the Mercantile in downtown Castle Rock. So we keep bringing in new things every day. If you haven't been in the last week or two, there's always something new for you to check out at any of these locations.
Well, and for the chef or for the kitchen, these cutting boards that you're talking about, these specialty items, really sound like a lovely gift. And of course, a good steak knife set, a good set for the kitchen, those are things that they're really, truly, truly an investment. But when you said pocket knives, I remember one of the interviews that we did, is that you said that your love of knives really began when your father gave you a pocket knife. And so as I was thinking about Christmas time, that may be a very good gift that a father could give a son for Christmas or Hanukkah.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. That's how I got interested in knives. I still have that knife that my dad helped me buy for Cub Scouts against my mom's better wishes. And that was made it very special for me that we went to go shopping together as you know, father and son. But regardless of your circumstances, knives make great gifts, and the knives that we focus on, regardless of the price point, are the ones that we think have a great chance of becoming heirloom items that can last you a lifetime, guaranteed for a lifetime, et cetera. We try to only pick the best knives from the best makers around the world, and that's absolutely something we have in the back of our mind all the time, as we want the knives not only to be functional, but we want them to be special.
Well, and so you have specials for Black Friday, specials for Small Business Saturday. You are open on Sunday, and then on Cyber Monday, you also have specials as well. Hal Van Herke, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. And that website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. Hal, we will talk to you next week.
Thank you, Kim.
And we'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
Day by day, day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And in studio with me is Patty Kurgan. She's a researcher. She is an author. And it's great to have you here day after Thanksgiving. It's our day after Thanksgiving broadcast. And Sunday is Advent, which is a really big deal in the Christian faith, Patty.
Yes, it is. It's a time where we prepare for the birth of Christ. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And of course, on Christmas Day, a lot of people don't realize it. Christmas means the Mass of Christ. And it's just a gorgeous.
There you go.
Right.
The Mass of Christ. Okay,
right.
Christmas. Okay.
Christmas, right.
Okay. And so Advent is the preparation of that. And on the line with us is Father John Lager. He is a Capuchin Franciscan and also the National Chaplain for Focus. Father Lager, I'm going to get that right here sometime in the show.
Okay. I know it's a lot of words there.
Okay. Let's talk about Advent. What is Advent exactly?
Advent actually is, you know, comes from the Latin word, which means coming, you know. And in the coming, or the preparation of the coming of the Lord, at Christmas, Advent is really a season that we are looking toward and preparing for this wonderful mystery of the birth of Christ. But not only does many Christian traditions celebrate just the coming of Christ at Christmas, but it's also a time for us to look forward into the second coming of Christ at the end of time, because a lot of the readings that we will hold during Advent are not only just for the birth of Christ, but they have this, you know, almost eschatological kind of flavor, which says we need to expect the Lord to return again. But I always say there's one more anticipation of coming that we need to reflect on during this time, and that is we need to ask that the Lord would come into our own hearts in a fresh and new and maybe more dynamic way than, you know, the Lord has before through the Holy Spirit and through this wonderful gift of the season. So it is all about coming. And within that season, it's a hopefulness, it's expectation, it's anticipation. It's kind of like a child waiting for, you know, this wonderful gift of Christmas and the gifts that come with that. But there's a real childlike, flavor within the context of Advent, but it's also having that real openness to receiving the Lord's word and what the prophets had said in, you know, thousands of years before Christ, of this anticipation. And someone once wrote that really Advent began when Adam and Eve left the garden, because it was all about, okay, I need to wait now for the coming of a Savior after our falling short of, obeying the Lord. So Advent is really a great time. It's hope of joyfulness and also anticipation and expectation that the Lord will come.
Well, and it's celebrated the four Sundays before Christmas, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
And every Sunday has kind of a theme that prepares us for the way. You know, there's great characters in the Old Testament that prepare us, you know, from, you know, John the Baptist, you know, Zechariah in the temple, and Joseph and Mary all receiving, you know, this wonderful gift of the Lord, you know, in anticipation for this. And, you know, it's symbolized often as well for many families and certainly for many churches in the Advent wreath. And the Advent wreath kind of begins, this wonderful reminder before us of, preparing for the Lord. So there's usually a wreath that has four candles for the 4 weeks, and three candles that are purple and one that is rose, anticipating, you know, the third Sunday, which is always the, you know, Gaudete Sunday, which is rejoice for the Lord is near. And so they're wonderful symbols that are also connected with this wonderful season.
Father John, each of us is different, and I have to say personally, I did not know this about the different color of candles and what that means. I really like all this ritual stuff as I'm learning about it. And Patty, I know that you do as well.
Oh, I've learned so much in the last 6-9 months.
You've been on a journey.
I've been on a journey, and it's the greatest story ever told. It really is.
Well, and you can see this in this piece that you've written, Life of Fear and Life of Peace. And you said, if you get inspired over this Advent season, there will be several other op-eds that will be forthcoming.
Exactly.
Father John, you said something in this that, and we're all on a journey. And,
yes.
And first of all, I think it's important that we realize that we're on a journey. That's kind of the first step, I think. But you said something about Advent is the preparation of our hearts, of our souls, for the coming of Christ, but that preparation of the individual. And Patty and I recently were at a dinner with another Catholic priest, and I asked him this question: with all that's going on in our world right now, are we near the end times? And his response was, we don't know when that is. We don't know if tomorrow is our own personal end time, our individual end time. And that kind of stopped me. And then when you said this about Advent and the individual, that seemed to connect a dot for me. What's your comments on that?
You know, I think the scriptures are often filled with those, indications that we need to always to be vigilant, for the Lord is near. We're going to hear these words, rejoice, for the Lord is near. But being near doesn't mean that it's the end. It just means that can we just continue to stay awake, aware, vigilant, expecting. But one of the things I love about this season of Advent, and there's such a contrast in our world today, because as you know, everything just starts to ramp up between probably now until, from Thanksgiving on to Christmas. It's like frantic activity. And in order for us, really, I think the season of Advent comes at a time that says, hey, can we just prepare and have a little bit of quiet and silence? I'd love to share this quote from Mother Teresa, because she is so profound. And when she was speaking about this whole season, she said, we need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is found, and God is the friend of silence. See how nature, trees, flowers, grass grow in silence, and see the stars, the moon, and the sun, how they move in silence. We need silence to be able to touch souls. Isn't that beautiful? We need silence. And of course, Pope Benedict's, one of his great lines was this, God's first language is silence. God's first language is silence. And I think Advent is this time that we need to create the kind of the quiet, the space, really to be able to be reflective and to prepare our own hearts. And we can't do that in noise and frantic activities and things like that.
Well, and this made me think of, and now I cannot find, and I think it was a Catholic priest that had said this, so you and Patty may be able to help me out, but this was based on Psalm 46:10. And I always look for these quotes for the show, and I had found this, and it was Psalm 46:10. It was, be still and know that I am God. And then right. The next line was, be still and know that I am. And then it was, be still and know, and then be still. And sometimes in very frantic days, I pull that out, Father John. Do you happen to know which priest said that or not?
I really don't, but I know it's a wonderful way to quiet the heart and just to spend time with each of those words. Those words are profound. Just to start with the word be. Can I just be? I don't know that we know how to be today, because we're constantly either looking at our devices that we're carrying or that are attached to our hips or whatever, and oftentimes we don't know how to be comfortable in our skin because we're so there's so many other things that are just bombarding us and our souls and our hearts and our minds and our attention that we have no room for silence and quiet.
Well, and as you're saying that, Father John, that reminds me, I think it was C.S. Lewis in Screwtape Letters, where, and that is something I have to read several times sometimes to get it, but it's basically where an older devil is talking to a younger devil on how to get the souls of human beings. And he said that so he's in this fight with Christ for the soul. And if I remember right, he's almost seeing Christ and just almost making that decision. And then suddenly the busyness, the bus comes by and the busyness of life snatches him away. And he said, the old devil says, we almost lost him, but the busyness grabbed him. And again, I'm paraphrasing as I remember that, but it's something along that line.
Absolutely. And that's what happens, that sometimes we allow all these other influences and forces actually to invade that sense of peace and stillness in our own lives. And I think for many of us, we need to rediscover the stillness that I think the Lord is really inviting us to. One of the things I always ask folks to do when I'm hearing confessions right before Christmas is, I said, okay, this is what I want you to do. This is your penance after, you know, your confession. I want you to find a very comfortable chair, and if you have a Christmas tree, I just want you to sit kind of in silence, turn the lights on, and then just go back and remember. Remember your Christmases. And I know that some may not be always very pleasant, but sometimes there are those that it's just beautiful. Or just remember the time that, you know, I have this capacity to be quiet and silent and with friends and family that's warm. And that's just, yeah, it's just so peaceful. You know, so anyway, that's a beautiful gift.
Well, it is. And again, we've been talking in this segment about Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. But I didn't take that last one, and that is just be. And so certainly as we're looking at this Advent season, that's really great words. Patty, we're going to go to break here in just a minute. What would be your final thoughts that you'd like to wrap up on this particular segment?
Silence is beautiful, and that's where you can find God.
And there's so much busyness out there in the world right now. We can see that it's very difficult for us to focus on both at the same time.
Correct. Even in my piece, when I challenge people to pray, the hardest thing is going to find the time to sit down and pray.
I get that. That is for sure. It's the busyness that can be our enemy sometimes. We're going to go to break. In studio with me is Patty Kergan, researcher and author. On the line with us is Father John Lager, and we're talking about Advent. Before we do that, though, I am so grateful for so many things, and I get to work with a lot of great partners. And another one of those is Kirsch Insurance Group. And Marlon and Danielle, Naomi, the whole team over there, they specialize in Medicare. And I think it's goofy that the government says that you can only make changes to your 2022 plan from October 15th through December 7th of 2021. But that's the way it is. And so you need to plan ahead. It doesn't cost you anything to either give them a call or schedule an appointment with Kirsch Insurance Group to sit down and set yourself up for success for next year. And that website is iKirsch.com. That's iKirsch.com, iKirsch.com. We're going to go to break. When we return, we'll continue the conversation with Patty Kergan and Father John Lager.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. Sunday afternoons at 3 here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. Really important show, this broadcast the day after Thanksgiving. And hope you all had a great, great time with friends and family. Or just even by yourself, just in reflection. I hope you had a very blessed Thanksgiving. In studio with me is Patty Kergan. She is a researcher and author. She does the research for the show. And she's written a piece that we'll be rolling out in the newsletter this week, Life of Fear or Life of Peace. Patty, I know you put a lot of thought into this.
I did.
And it is a beautiful piece. Love the visual that you put with it as well. And so we will roll that out this weekend. On the line with us is Father John Lager. He's a Capuchin Franciscan. He's the National Chaplain of Focus, which is basically working on college campuses, I would say, to give students hope. Would that be a great way to describe that, Father John?
Absolutely. It's not only it's hope, but it's also giving them a vision for really living today for embracing life in a way that's filled with purpose, significance, and above all with making a difference in other people's lives, so that it doesn't become self-centered, but really other-centered as well.
Well, and one thing, and I've heard this throughout a theme, and then, of course, Chris Stefanik, who had had connected us, which is great. And I remember in one of the interviews I did with him, we were talking about faith and how being a Christian is trying, but to be the best version of yourself possible. That really struck me, Father John.
That is such a great line, and I think it comes from Matthew Kelly, who wrote a book, rediscovering Catholicism or Christian faith.
I think rediscovering Jesus, I think, is what it was, if I remember right, because I have that.
Yeah, God's plan for all of us is not to be a second class version of someone else, and so often in our young men and women who are growing up, everything is all about comparison. If I was like this person, then I'd have everything would seem to be right and together. And the Lord continues to remind us, and one of the things that we want to remind our young men and women on college campuses is, remember, this thumbprint that you have is the only one there is, and God did not make a mistake. And He has given you this wonderful gift of being a unique version of another reflection of who He is. We are called to be this extension of Christ to others in His heart, through our hearts, hands, words, feet, everything that we do. So that's such a wonderful image of what it means to be a Christian today, we just need to do that.
Wow, a lot of nuggets in there, Patty, for sure. Father John, we're talking about Advent, which is the four Sundays. We celebrate this in the Christian faith, the four Sundays before Christmas. But wanted to talk a little bit about preparing for Christmas. What's your thoughts on that?
That's always such an important thing. Now, and I know that Patty probably works a lot with this in her own work and writings and stuff, is knowing that first and foremost that Advent is all about connections. It's also about connecting first and foremost of why we are doing this, and that is growing in a deeper relationship with Christ, and that is creating the space that we need to continue to be prepared. And sometimes that means that we need to do a little, not spring cleaning, but just, Christmas cleaning or Advent cleaning of our own hearts and souls. Of what are the things that distract us? What are the things that oftentimes hinder us? What are we blind to or we have been deaf to? And in a real way, I think that the season, calls us to really listen and to always say, make amends where we need to, and also to serve the poor. I was a young Capuchin, and Archbishop Chaput, who is a Capuchin, was my formator when I was in just a very young friar. And one day he was preparing us as formator, for our life as a Franciscans following St. Francis of Assisi. He said to us, if you choose not to acknowledge, to see, to serve, and to love the poor, you are going to hell. I mean, it was just so bold. And so part of this preparation for Christmas is, all right, it's not about me. It's all about how can I be of service to others during this season. Especially, we need to be aware of the poor, the needy, those who are less fortunate, those who are alone and alienated and oftentimes maybe just forgotten. And we have enough of those at each of us in our lives, and maybe that's the time. So I would say that part of our preparation is to move into maybe the quietness and the stillness that we need, but also what are the areas in our lives that we need to do some, cleaning, reconciliation, heart work. And then how is it that we want to give our hands away in the sense of service? What are the stuff that, I need to let go of and really serve the Lord and by serving the poor? And that's one of the great gifts that, we need to recognize.
Okay, Father John, question.
Yes.
As you're saying, serving the poor, in my mind, I'm thinking of the Beatitudes. those that are poor in spirit. So when we talk about serving the poor, I think it's more than just physical poor. I think there that, and sometimes even more than that, is poor in spirit. And in our society right now, there's so many people searching because I think that we have a lot of poor in spirit. What's your thoughts on that?
There are. And, you know, part of that is, you know, the scripture says, you know, in those situations when we encounter others, can we give them the hope of for our joy of what we have received? And part of that is, how can we be this gift of hope and joy, you know, to people who oftentimes, you know, are seeing, oh, woe is me, or the world is heading to, you know, where, in a basket quickly, you know? And it's like, we need to recognize that, you know, we need to continue to be this light and this hope, this joy, this, you know, reason for, you know, continued generosity from our own heart and spirit, you know, to give that to others. And too often, it just means, it doesn't mean that we have to give always something materially or, you know, resourcefully, but certainly it means that we need to give away our hearts. That might be just listening, you know, to another and being present to and accompanying someone.
Okay. You know? Okay. You said a couple of words there that I think are important, and Patty and I talk a lot, not only in preparation for the show, but also just about life and big thoughts or whatever. But Patty, Father John just said something about joy, and there's a difference between joy and happiness. You can be joyful even in circumstances that might be difficult, and I think there's just such a difference between joy and happy. Your thoughts?
You know, that's difficult because they are different. And it depends upon your experience, one. And two, I think it really depends upon your relationship that you have with God. And so you can be in a bad situation, but you can still feel happiness. You can still feel joy. Every morning I say the rosary, and today it was the mysteries was so beautiful. It was the glorious mysteries.
Okay.
And it's, you're talking about Christ rising, the ascension into heaven, the Holy Spirit coming down, and then with Mary. And final one is the coronation of Mary. And they're all so beautiful. Okay. So a lot of people go to prayer when they're hurting, and then you read or you say the rosary, and you have to feel joy within your heart, your soul.
Okay. And again, joy and happy are two different things.
Yes.
Okay. Father John, we've got just a few minutes left. What's your comments on joy versus happy?
Oh, well, happiness gets to be kind of like any feeling that, you know, it comes and it goes, you know. But joy, remember, is, you know, said often in the scriptures, often, you know, the Lord says, do not fear, probably 365 times. But, you know, he also says, be joyful. And joy is a part of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay. It's a gift that comes to us from knowing not only with head, but with heart, you know, who Jesus is, but, and also knowing whose we are. We are his. And the joy comes in knowing that he is, you know, our refuge, our strength, our comfort, you know, our hope. He is what Jeremiah, you know, 29:11 would say, I know the plans I have for you, plans that are for good and not for woe, so that he is always looking out at after us, accompanying us, joining us in our good times, our sad times, our tough times, the times that we even avoid him, he is always there. And even in those most tragic moments, we need to know that God is always present. You know, the great line is of Advent too is Emmanuel, which is God is with us. God is with us. And that is the joy, and that's the hope of this whole season. And we just hope and pray that that can be, you know, your experience and your family's experience as you kind of celebrate these wonderful days ahead.
Well, and we're just about out of time here, Father John and Patty, but as you were talking, I quickly looked up the verses from the angels when they went to the shepherds, and they said this, "Fear not," Patty, there you go, the "fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And I just love the words, "fear not," and "joy." So, Patty, we're just about out of time here. How would you like to wrap this up as we are moving into the Advent season?
Wherever you are, God is welcoming you, and the doors are open. Take the opportunity to go inside.
And I just want to mention that we always talk about freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And this invitation is an invitation. It is not something that is forced upon people. It is something that is freely given, and people have the freedom to decide or not. Father John Lager, this has been such a pleasure to have you on the show as well. What is the final thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Thank you so much again for allowing me to be with you. I know this is, your second string, but what I would love to say...
It's a deep bench, Father Lager. It's a deep bench.
the image of also preparation for Advent and Christmas is always the Christmas crib, which was founded or started by St. Francis of Assisi, which is my beloved, patron and father in my community. And I would just encourage people that, as we prepare for Advent, let's not forget, let's remember, the stable. And I would suggest buy a Christmas crib and invite your family to circle the crib and invite the Lord to be a part of that. And the image of the crib, the image of the Advent wreath are just wonderful reminders to us of our faith, but above all, where, we all want to meet the Lord as well.
Well, Father John, thank you so much. And I may not be the first, but close, since we're just coming into the Advent season. I wish you a very Merry Christmas.
And to you, and a Happy Advent, both of you.
Thank you so much. And Patty, it's great to have you here. Thanks so much for being here.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Father John, for your words of wisdom.
Okay, and our quote for the end of the day is Pope John Paul II. He said, "I plead with you, never ever give up on hope, never doubt, never tire, and never become discouraged. Be not afraid." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry.